Today on Central Standard, join us for some Java Jive. We're brewing up conversation about our local roasting scene.
I love coffee, I love tea, I love the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
I'm Jabalani LaFall, and we'll be joined by The Roastery, Oddly Correct, and Benetti's. They're all here to answer your home brewing questions and tell you about the emerging coffee scene here in town. Join us for a fresh pot after this hour's news.
A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Oh, slip me a slug from that wonderful mug, and I cut a rug till I'm snug in a jug. A slice of onion and a raw one.
Good morning, Kansas City. Joe, Java, pick-me-up sauce, rocket fuel, bean juice, daily drip, morning oil, liquid lightning, muddied water, wakey wakey. Whatever your nickname for a freshly brewed cup of coffee is, it's no doubt that many of you can't start your day without it. And many of you are part of a rich, local coffee culture. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Today, coffee talk commences as we discuss home brewing methods, local businesses, and trends and collaborations here in the KC Metro. Everything you ever wanted to know or love to talk about concerning Mojo Plasma, better known as coffee. And joining us now to talk about this Mojo Plasma, our guest, Ben Helt of Benetti's Coffee Experience in Raytown, Gregory Coastal from Oddly Correct right here on Main Street, and Paul Massard, the green coffee buyer for the roastery. Let's get right into it. Start out with the basic question. What did each of you drink before you came in this morning? Great.
Cup o' Rwanda.
Cup o' Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
And please explain what that means.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm still stuck on kind of like Wakey Wakey and Mojo Plasma. That's
right,
amazing.
Right. Yeah.
Totally. It's a beautiful coffee from Rwanda, essentially.
Describe the sort of flavor and tone of it.
Herby, citrusy, like a volcano of cotton candy.
A volcano
raining,
of cotton
raining
candy.
Raining down. Mm-hmm.
In other words, wakey wakey.
Right.
What about you, Ben Hill?
Well, I had two cups this morning, but I'm going to talk about Sumatra Popodama, Lintong Popodamas that I had this morning, which is a really nice, wild, earthy coffee with kind of a grilled pineapple and green pepper note to it. Just really wild and kind of in your face, particularly as it cools down.
Wow. So, Paul Massard, you round out this trifecta of coffee goodness.
Yeah.
Do you wake up in the morning and just say, I'm going to have some good gourmet stuff today?
Yeah, exactly.
What
did
you have
specialty
this morning?
Stuff. I had the pleasure of actually tasting about 30 cups this morning. We tasted all of our roaster samples. So I tasted about pretty much every origin that you could taste. But right now we have a Costa Rica honey processed coffee. So it's a very, very sweet coffee, almost a honey-like sweetness to it. Has some nice complexity to it as well.
More coffee before 9 a.m. than most people do all day.
Yep.
Most people, mind you. There are some serious coffee drinkers out here in the KC metro area. How do you cleanse your palate when you're tasting 30 different varieties of coffee?
I really don't. I mean, the introduction of a new coffee to your palate will overwhelm it, so that sensation of the previous coffee goes away.
It's coffee time here on Central Standard. We have Ben Held of Benetti's Coffee Experience in Raytown, Gregory Coastal from Oddly Correct right here on Main Street, Paul Massard, the green coffee buyer for the roastery. Describe what the coffee scene is like here in the metro area, Paul, and how has it changed?
It's great. I would say a couple of years ago, when I first moved to Kansas City 3 years ago, there were just a few roasters in town. Now they're popping up everywhere, and it's wonderful. I mean, the more competition for everybody, the better everybody gets, so the better coffee that our customers get.
Greg, to what do you attribute this proliferation of Mojo Plasma?
I think awareness of quality, and kind of the beauty that comes from like a niche, you know, and variety. Different people doing different things, but being really passionate about them. I think it kind of opens our eyes across the board.
Obviously, as baristas and coffee merchants, you come across many people of different international varieties, many travelers. What distinguishes the KC metro area coffee culture from other places, Ben Hill?
Well, I think one of the things that we definitely have to our advantage here is having a greater geographic coverage of great coffee. You know, we've had a lot of great places in the downtown area. Now we're starting to see them pop up outside of the 435 loop, including those that are doing a great job roasting. In addition to what Kansas City is doing as a whole to attract great entrepreneurs and attract more of the creative class, which we see enjoying and living up to the expectation for qualities that Gregory was talking about.
So what you're saying is the two factors is that there's so much sprawl that people have to stay awake because they're driving so far, and there is an effort to attract people in all black with wire-rimmed glasses that drink coffee. That's kind of what you're saying.
Well, that's a loose paraphrase of what I was getting at. But that's good.
Paul, you have anything to add to that?
And when you drink coffee, and you drink amazing coffee, your palate expands. So the more amazing coffee you drink, the more you want to experience. And that also helps us. So our customer base is asking for better and better coffees.
You can't go back.
No, never.
You can't go back. What made you, Ben Helt, want to get into the coffee business? Let's talk a little bit about each one of you. We're going to do that in this hour, but let's start with you, Ben.
Yeah, well, for me, it was very community-driven. We were looking for a chance to do something cool in an area that we had just moved to and something that would help attract others to our neighborhood. And so for us, it was about creating that space, the space where you could have those cultural discussions, enjoy a fine product from all over the world. And for us, it was, like I said, very community-driven. And then we were kind of awoken to the fact, or I don't really know who to attribute this to, but if we were going to make the difference in the community that we wanted to, we actually had to have good coffee and have a good product. And that seems to be the downfall of a lot of suburban shops, is they want to create the atmosphere and the space and the vibe, but they actually forget to have a good cup of coffee. And so that's kind of what put us on the path of doing what we're doing.
Right. And as a natural follow-up to that question, in creating a coffee experience as well as a coffee shop, how do you get around that sort of stereotypical cliche? We're going to have some jazz. We're going to paint the walls brown, have a couple plants in here, a few organic coffee bags, hang those up, and sort of create that experience and hope some cool people come in and put Wi-Fi in here.
Well, it helps to have a well-intentioned chip on your shoulder about it, you know, and I had the opportunity to go to lots of auctions looking for used equipment at failed coffee shops, and I took copious notes about everything they did.
Right.
And then just try to avoid doing that.
Right. Yeah. So everything that the people who failed did, yeah. And then you show up and say, I got your stuff at a discount price while you drink your coffee maniacally, right?
Yeah. But and then focusing on the people and the product, and if you do that, then those things work out.
What do you like about being a coffee shop owner?
Oh, gosh, there are so many get-tos as part of my job. The people, getting to experience a product that comes from all over the world. I mean, it's truly global. And there are so many people before it even gets to us that have worked hard to maintain the quality of the product before it gets to us. And it places a burden on us to make sure that we treat it well and highlight all the work that they've done. So I guess the combination of that responsibility and then the impact that we can have in a community with helping people connect with each other over something that they can really appreciate.
As a proprietor of a coffee shop at a fixed location, is it more cost effective to get most of your beans from one wholesaler? Where do you get most of your beans?
Well, like probably everybody at this table, we work with several different importers, you know, and try to build those relationships. But it really all comes down to, I mean, the relationship is great, but the coffee's got to taste good. Mm-hmm. And so we're constantly working with folks that are presenting coffee to us or have coffee that we're interested in.
I'm going to give you a little airtime for your shop, for your trade. What is your most popular blend there at Benetti's Coffee Experience?
I would say that our Sumatra Pobodama Selintong is probably our flagship coffee. And then we also have a couple blends. We're a big believer in the value of blends. And so I would say our Mocha Java blend and then our Silhouette series, darker roasted coffees. And then our Fleming 3 Espresso, we've kind of designed specifically for home baristas, those who are using a smaller dose to extract, you know, somewhere between an ounce and a half and 2 ounces of espresso.
And we'll no likely have questions from some of our home baristas here on Central Standard today as we get into this coffee talk. What makes your Sumatra blend the best one, the most popular one. Indonesian coffees are very popular from that region of the area, the Pacific Rim.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, when a customer comes in and interacts with your staff, they can pick up what you're excited about, you know, that power of suggestion. And we're a staff that just really loves our Indonesian coffees. We've spent a lot of time with them and figuring out the best way that we can treat them and highlight them. We also really love the people that we get them from. This particular stateside importer is a member of families that participate in that co-op, as most Sumatran coffee is, you know, just because of the size of their farms are smaller and participate in those co-ops. So it kind of completes that whole story that we know where it's coming from, we know how it's grown, we're excited about it, and our customers pick up on that. And when they get down to the bottom of the cup, they want a little bit more.
Do you drink roastery and Oddly Correct coffee and have a mix of reactions when you do, like, or
oh,
shucks,
yeah,
or...
well, you know,
we're
I think
we're just
going to
change the label on this.
That's funny. I think a sign of a conscientious coffee roaster or somebody who's really into it and passionate about it is that they drink other people's coffee. They get out, and hopefully we get a chance to share some of the names of those folks in the Kansas City area today. They get out and they try other coffees. That's the great thing about what Jason Burton at the lab and Marty and Tootie Rowe with About the Coffee are doing, is providing a spot for us all to come together and try those coffees. But, yeah, you know, we're a great coffee community. We're also competitive, and so we're always interested in trying other people's stuff and kind of seeing what we can learn from them or kind of where we stand.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM, streaming live on KCUR.org. I am Jabalani LaFall, avid coffee drinker. Our guests are Ben Helt of Benetti's Coffee Experience, Gregory Coastal from Oddly Correct over on Main Street and around 39th, correct? Paul Massard, the green coffee buyer for the roastery, is also here as well, and it's the Coffee Talk Hour. So wake up, Kansas City, and call in the Central Standard's Coffee Talk. Tell us what your favorite coffee shop is. What do you drink there, and why do you drink there? And what have you always noticed about the preparation of your particular cup of joe that you have an affinity for? Do you have questions about your own home brewing routine for our bubbling baristas? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also put down your cups and write in the Central Standard at KCUR.org. Facebook is also an option, and our Twitter handle is at KCURCST. So you have a varied, wide variety of options to put down your cup of coffee right now and join this wonderful conversation about coffee. Speaking of which, Doug writes, he just got back from Costa Rica, and when driving to and from the Pocos Volcano, he saw coffee growing as far as he could see. Very large selections were enclosed in shade fabric. What was this for? To be shade grown, an organic requirement? He's just curious, Doug says. He's curious. And we'll turn to our Paul Massard.
I believe those were actually ferns and flowers that he saw growing. I mean, I've been there multiple times, and they don't really cover the coffee with the actual tarp, but they actually cover the ferns and the flowers with tarp.
Okay, so it was likely ferns and flowers, Doug. Coffee commodity prices have been pretty high, but according to the International Coffee Organization, the average monthly price for a pound of coffee fell about 24% between July 2011 and last month, July 2012. Does this affect your coffee buying at the wholesale level?
Oh, definitely does. All coffee is purchased off a differential price of that commercial price. So whatever the commodity price is doing, that affects our external price.
Now that it's down, though, Ben, will you pass that on to consumers, or do you have your own?
Well, I think the key word there was average.
Average, right.
And so, you know, the price of what we're able to purchase may depend also on which coffee we're choosing. So sometimes we use the drop in prices for us to buy a better coffee. Mm-hmm. And that may be at the same price as one that we had before. That maybe was a lower grade. But we're also working at a bit of a different scale.
You know? Certainly. Let's bring Gregory Coastal in and talk about that as well. Do you adjust your pricing based on the larger macro coffee buying apparatus, if you
will? Yeah, like Ben said, it kind of gives us the green light to jump somewhere we may not have been able or had the courage to do before. So when the going is good, you kind of go a little bit bigger and deeper, you know. So
whatever you do it Oddly Correct.
I reckon.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, where'd you get the name from, Oddly Correct?
The name was, oddly enough, I'm in Kansas City now, as we're aware of. But I grew up wanting to be an astronaut and failed there when I got glasses and wanted to design greeting cards. And so that was the name of my childhood greeting card, you know, because I could never find something that was right for me that I felt like I could actually say. So when it came time to start our own thing, it kind of just was appropriate, because what we also like to do is encourage people to pursue what they're into, whether it's coffee or radio or whatever. It may not be right for everybody the way you're doing it or what it is, but it's oddly correct for you, so we want to support you in that.
You also have a printing press component to mm-hmm. it, so you can go in there and get your coffee and get your stuff printed. Talk about that juxtaposition.
Yeah, ideally you could. I'm kind of...
Custom printing.
The beauty is, oddly correct for us, is kind of a packing in of all the things we love into one business. You know, you've got people, you've got music, a little bit of climbing, you've got a little bit of art and printmaking, and so it's really just been a great like mashup of all the things we love.
Climbing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's sort of
you
like...
You can't leave that hanging out there.
That's a... Well, we have a young family, so before I had family, we were pretty avid rock climbers, and kind of shaped the way we lived our lives and traveled and all of that. So that is sort of altered.
I thought maybe you had one of those simulation walls inside the coffee shop.
If you look hard enough, you will see certain apparatus in the back there that we do stay limber on.
Do you allow guests mm-hmm. who are hopped up on coffee to come in and be like, I'm climbing the walls, baby?
No, that's only a metaphor.
Okay.
Actually.
Okay. One of the things you specialize in over there is nano coffee. Tell us about nano coffee.
Yeah, you know, like Ben, we actually started off with the same size roaster a while back. So nano consumerism is kind of what we're talking about here. We have a 5 kilogram roaster. It's just what we choose. In my previous life, we roasted like 2.5 million pounds a year, and it was great, but it didn't feel right, you know, and I saw this kind of business sort of crumble. So we decided, what's the opposite of that? Imagine being in Europe, going to the market, grabbing a fish, grabbing a piece of bread and some fruit and milk and going back to your tiny little ice chest, and then you do it again tomorrow. That's kind of the lifestyle we're choosing to pursue. I can walk to my shop from my house. You know, we're pretty much locally minded. So the idea is, I guess it's sort of for us, we're not going to pursue big box chains. We kind of want to keep it simple, keep it small, and have a lot of personality influence on the coffee.
Minimalism, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of local minimalism, a green sort of...
Right, yeah, lesser footprint. And I'm pretty disorganized, so I tend to be inefficient, so I'm not sure green even applies to me because I stumble everywhere over my own rubbish. But
so you're reducing your carbon footprint by default.
Exactly.
You said you want to increase the status quo of specialty coffee in the mm-hmm. metro. What does that mean, increasing the status quo?
Well, I think all of us at this table, and it really the city, in the status quo means, if we could just use that one company with the siren on it, you know, that we all love to hate, but really all gave us a leg up in terms of education. Like, status quo is that. Status quo is when I go into coffee, I know, and there's nothing wrong with necessarily putting things in your coffee or, you know, getting a 52-ounce latte, you know. But that's sort of the status quo is, like, it comes out of the Dunkin' Donuts culture and all of that, I think. So what we're doing is we're trying to add some, like, a sharper lens on the coffee to say, this coffee has a soul. It has a lot of personality that we want to bring out. And we want you to actually, we don't need you to be a geek like we are, but we are asking you to take a minute and sort of explore what coffee could be, like wine, like beer, like music, you know. So in that sense, the status quo is the norm of anything, right? Like poor radio and that sort of thing. So you're trying to push a little further into subject matter and the city. And so that's kind of what we're doing too.
Yeah, well, as a show to be a smooth blend.
Ooh.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888 to get in on the conversation, the coffee talk we're having here on Central Standard today. Tell us your favorite coffee shop, why you go there, and what you drink there. Also, if you want to call in for your home barista and home brewing tips, you can do so as well at 816-235-2888 is the number once again. And you can also write into centralstandard@kcur.org as Karen in North KC did. She says, she has such an aversion for the terrible coffee provided to us free at work that she brings her own from home. She grinds it and brews roastery coffee and brings it in a 40-ounce thermos. It stays hot all day, and she stays happy. Kyle writes, what's the difference between roasting styles and techniques, not just heat transfer, but in actual development stages of the coffee seed, and what part does that play overall in the flavor profile of the final product? Kyle is getting real technical.
That's a great question.
He's getting real technical with this muddy water. Anybody want to take that?
Well, it's a great question to ask this group of people because we all have a wide variety of roasting styles that we engage in. So I'm looking forward to the answer to this question, too.
You want to take that?
Yeah, I mean, our company uses an air roasting. So we use a fluid bed air roaster. So it's a convection heat. And we feel that it gives us consistency within roast as well as from roast to roast. So the development stage of the coffee is when you're really developing those sugars. You're caramelizing the sugars inside of that coffee bean, which really bring out the sweetness in the end cup.
So that's what brings out the sweetness, the development stages of the actual seed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so then we're a drum coffee roaster, like Gregory, and kind of our approach to it is we're kind of a low and slow roaster, where we may stretch out our roast a little longer than some, to especially during that caramelization phase. And but then again, it really depends on which coffee we have in there.
Is that the key phase in the brewing of coffee for serving, the caramelization phase?
It plays a large role, but it's every step is important. I mean, from how you hold your grain to the preheated temperature of the roaster to how fast you cool it once it's done. So there's a lot that goes into it, a lot of opportunities to take away from the value of the coffee.
Jeannie in Leawood wants to tell us that she's a big fan of Broadway Cafe, mm-hmm. right there on Main Street. Also, Broadway Cafe, actually. Wouldn't be on Main Street. It would be on Broadway.
Ideally.
That makes sense. Cindy, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi there. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, we love Broadway roasting, and partly the reason we do is because we go in about every week, and we can get the coffee that's been roasted just the day before or whatever. But my question for you is, we have a variety of ways to brew our coffee. We generally do it one cup at a time. We use an AeroPress most of the time, but we also have the Chemex and French press. And then for serious coffee drinks like lattes, we use a Nespresso. I'm just wondering what your guests think is the best way to brew a cup of coffee at home.
Best way to use an AeroPress brewing a cup of coffee at home. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, is AeroPress the best?
Right.
Or what do they think?
All right. Anybody want to take Cindy's question?
I'm going to kind of anticipate what my friends are going to say, but it, for me, really depends on the coffee that you're going to be using. You know, certain methods highlight either the body or the flavor profile of the origin and some of those things. So it really depends on which coffee you use. I know that may sound like a bit of a cop-out, but if you've got that much equipment in your house, I would be constantly exploring with every origin that I got to go in there. And I would also be curious what kind of grinder she's using.
All right, Cindy, think about what type of grinder you're using as we read what Leslie writes. She said her favorite coffee shop is the Filling Station, an iced toddy with lots of half and half on a hot day. Yum. Indeed, I can vouch for the Filling Station. It's not a gas station, folks. They make good coffee there. Mary in Midtown, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, I live in Midtown, and I actually stop into Oddly Correct. Relatively often. I can't say I'm a regular because I can't afford a $3 shot of espresso every day. But I just was really glad when Gregory was just saying about that, you know, we all know people go to Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks. And I always kind of felt like I had to, like, just discreetly get my coffee and leave because I would just walk in there and everybody would know that I also, like, drink really bad coffee sometimes. But maybe I just won't feel that way now since, you know, he, you know, outed it right there on local radio.
Yeah, no, come as you are.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, because I really, like I said, I really do appreciate what you do. And I love the Filling Station even before you opened where, you know, you roast for and, you know, stopped and down at the Coffee Key, you know, and I, you know, saw your, you know, things down around there. So.
Yep.
I just absolutely love the coffee culture of Kansas City, mm-hmm. and I have to say Oddly Correct is by far one of my favorites, and I actually have a package of your coffee sitting on the passenger seat of my car ready to go off to Australia.
Yahoo.
Right now.
Good
wow.
work.
Yeah.
Wow. You're gonna need it. It's a long, long flight, Mary. Thank you for your contribution to the conversation, Mary, in Midtown. JP in KC, welcome to Central Standard Coffee Talk. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yep.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good.
So right now I'm driving cross country. I'm dying to open up a coffee shop, and my question to you guys is, you always hear these courses and these classes to, you know, for roasting or barista and all that. And I wanted to know, like, how are they really worth it? Do you recommend it?
He's at the beginning stages, JP is, of opening up his own coffee shop, and this is a good sort of entrepreneurial lesson. Mm-hmm. Should he be taking classes?
I think it could be part of a balanced breakfast of things to do to get prepared. You know, that's got to be combined with being an avid customer and, you know, just embracing the community that you're about to go into. I think when I was first starting out, I had a lot of fear about the competition and didn't probably ask as many questions as I should have. And that, again, you know, if he's in the KC area, this is the right place to reach out and share your dreams so that those who know can point you in the right direction or maybe even point out some things to avoid.
Austin writes in to point out that his old professor at KSU used to make Java with deionized water, the water made to keep the research at a nuclear reactor, pure H2O. So that's an interesting coffee anecdote. And Jimmy at KCUMB writes, I've been getting really good coffee at the Benetti's in Independence. Where did the name Benetti's come from? Ben Hill.
You know, I named it after an old friend of mine named Marcos Benetti. And he was, you know, played an important role in kind of shaping some of our attitudes about that.
And what was that role?
You know, he's a guy that grew up in Boston doing a lot of import and export with the ethnic communities there. And you know, just opening, you know, my eyes as a kid that, you know, grew up out in more rural areas to what kind of products are available globally and how they can make an impact on a community.
That's a wonderful anecdote. Mm-hmm. A lot better than perhaps you adding Eddie to your name.
That's right. A lot of people ask my wife's name is.
Just adding Eddie.
Yeah,
Ben. Doesn't work. Yeah. One of our guests, Anne in Westport, wants to know, how important is fully cleaning out your mug? It's a pretty simplistic question, but some people like to do the dirty with their coffee. How important is it?
I think it depends.
Depends.
Yeah, I mean, we have somebody at our office that he would probably strangle you if you cleaned his mug. If you look at it, it's pretty disgusting. But Norm likes his mug a little bit dirty.
Why do people like their mugs dirty? They kind of want to get the organic, dirty, ground coffee taste.
You know, I'm not really sure. I clean mine out, so I don't know.
There's something satisfying about, like, that, you know, that hue and that the comfort of that, like a seasoned cast iron skillet or something. I mean, if you put soap in it, it won't take all the darkness out. But, yeah, I think it's a weird personality thing.
Yeah.
It's Coffee Talk on Central Standard here today. Our guests are Ben Helt of Benetti's Coffee Experience, Gregory Coastal from Oddly Correct, and Paul Massard of the Green Coffee Buying Variety at The Roastery. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll be back for a refill on the conversation. Wake up, Kansas City, and call in the Central Standards Coffee Talk. Tell us what your favorite coffee shop is, why you drink there, and what you drink there. We also have ways to enhance your coffee-making experience at home. And do you have questions about your own home brewing routine? 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888. You can also put your cups down and write into centralstandard@kcur.org, or you can use Facebook, and our Twitter handle is @kcurcst. We'll be back with more Java Madness. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm your host, Javalani LaFall. T.S. Eliot said he measured out his life with coffee spoons, a testament to how important coffee was in the life of that famous writer. But whether or not you write, you certainly drink, and today is all about coffee. Our guests are Ben Helt of Benetti's Coffee Experience, Gregory Coastal from Oddly Correct, and Paul Massard. He's the green coffee buyer for The Roastery here in Kansas City. Wake up, metro area, and call in the Central Standards Coffee Talk. Tell us your favorite coffee shop or coffee variety, why you go to your shop, or why you drink your favorite variety. And you can also call in for tips on making your own Java at home, 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also write in at Facebook or write into centralstandard@kcur.org. That's our email here, and at KCURCST is our Twitter handle. Greg writes, I live in Midtown and I love Oddly Correct's blends, particularly the hoppy brew. What makes the hoppy brew unique? Throw a little beer in the coffee?
Well, it's sort of the best of both worlds. We're doing this, it's a toddy, but it's infused with hops. And so it's just another way where we kind of geek out. In the death heat of this summer, we started producing this hop-infused, you know, toddy. So the hop toddy is basically a hop-infused cold brew coffee in a beer bottle that you can get on the weekends.
Wow.
So, yeah, best of both worlds.
And Charlotte in Prairie Village wants to know, are there classes for learning how to be a better coffee drinker? That's very important, learning how to be a better coffee drinker. Are there classes for that, Paul? Yeah,
there are. I think we all have them at our shops. We do one with UMKC's CUMUniversity, which you can sign up for. I think it happens 5 or 6 times a year. So, yeah, there definitely are.
Now, Paul, you spent time in arguably the most well-known coffee exporting country in the world, Colombia, hailing from Barranquilla, Colombia. Tell us about your journey from there through Miami and your sort of coffee immersion over your lifetime.
I guess I was born with a coffee cup in my hand, being from Colombia. And then my family migrated to Florida, which I basically grew up there, but we still had close ties to the Colombian community, especially the coffee community, because I have family there that has a coffee co-op. And then always drinking coffee, I realized that I could taste all the differences in all the coffees, so I decided to pursue that as a career.
Are Colombians as notoriously choosy about coffee and coffee varieties as the French are, say, about their wine and champagne?
The problem with the coffee in Colombia is that they export all of the good coffee. So the people actually in Colombia don't get the chance to drink the amazing coffee that the people produce there.
What's your average day? You're a green buyer for the roastery. What's your average day like as a green buyer for the roastery? And clarify that distinction.
So I build relationships as well as purchase coffee from, 32 different countries right now. So my average day is tasting lots and lots of coffee. Average day, anywhere from 40 to 120 cups of coffee are tasted and scored. And from there, we decide how we're going to roast that specific coffee, if we're going to purchase a coffee, if we're not going to purchase a coffee. So it's basically sitting at a table tasting coffee when I'm in town.
So you're basically buying it fresh off the crop.
Correct.
Explain that process and how you identify growers.
I spend a lot of time, especially recently, traveling and finding these farms. I was just recently in Ecuador and Peru, traveling, visiting farmers, tasting their coffee. So what we do is just basically go down there, build the relationships, try to find those farmers that are going that extra mile to produce that amazing coffee, and then build that relationship and partner with them, hopefully long term, so they get a little bit more for that particular coffee, and we selfishly get an amazing coffee year after year.
Man, Paul Massard, you have a horrible job in having to travel around and taste all of this wonderful coffee. How do you deal with that? How do you cope?
Yeah, it's rough. I mean, it's really rough.
Green coffee beans are supposed to be healthy for you. Is any coffee made without the brew process, skipping that? What are they in the green stage, coffee beans?
So it's
describe that.
A coffee bean is the seed of the coffee cherry or the coffee tree. So green coffee is called green coffee because it's green in color.
Right.
There are some drinks made out of it. And before coffee was roasted, they used that green coffee to make a green coffee tea to extract the caffeine from it. I'm not really sure if there are any actual drinks made with green coffee these days. We've tried it. It's not particularly the best tasting.
Right. So you have to bring out the flavor and sweetness through the roasting process.
Exactly.
And how did that evolve? You mentioned that in the early stages that it was made with tea and then...
Right.
When did the roasting process sort of
I believe it's 1200 AD.
Wow.
We're not really sure how it happened, if coffee fell into a fire, if a house burned down that had coffee in it. But, I mean, once they realized that the roasting process really enhanced the flavor and brought out different flavors, then coffee spread like crazy.
Some of the greatest things happen by accident. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Nick and Waldo is fighting with his girlfriend. And what the subject they're fighting over is, should they be stirring after adding hot water to the French press or not?
I want to stir. No. You stir. No, I'm not going to stir. It's my French press.
It depends.
What should they be doing?
I think they should just get along, you know?
Relationship counseling.
Well, I would say, that's maybe another show. I'd be happy to come. But, you know, I say experiment. See who's right, you know? Mm-hmm. we do stir. There's a very, you can do it at the beginning, you can do it at the end. It's all about, again, the kind of cup you're going for.
Nick, if you want to win an argument with your girlfriend, give her a good cup of coffee.
And
stop. Doesn't that solve it?
Stop being mean.
Doesn't that solve it? She's drinking coffee, she's not arguing. If they're drinking coffee, they're not arguing. Lacey in Midtown writes, Mud Pie on 39th is her favorite. It's close to home. Friendly baristas, and they have the best plain black iced coffee she's had in the city. Thank you for writing in, Lacey. What makes a good coffee bean, Paul Massart? What are the characteristics of a good coffee bean?
Good coffee bean? Yeah. Density.
Density.
So the higher the coffee's grown, the higher density you're going to end as an end product. That density really helps in the development of the bean. So you have more sugars inside that bean. You have a coffee that has a more complex character, higher acidity.
Debbie writes, I've never been a coffee drinker, but I love the smell when I grind and brew coffee for my husband. It just makes it taste so much better. She says it's a bitter taste for her. Is there a particular variety that you would recommend and try for a coffee novice, so to speak? There must be a way to drink caffeine without consuming Diet Coke, is what Debbie says. Someone who wants to ease into coffee. Coffee can be an acquired taste to some.
Yeah. To me, I think a great opportunity for doing that is taking advantage of anybody who's doing a cupping, public cupping of any different kinds of coffee. And everybody sitting at this table does this. Gregory has held several cuppings there. And then at the roastery, you can pop in on them at least once a week, you know, and get a cupping experience. That way, you experience it from the bean, you know, to its brewed flavor. And so easing into it, that's a great way to experience a lot at once.
Pam and KCK, welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning. I'd like to ask about fair trade coffee. Do any of them sell it? I think maybe I heard Mr. Massart talk about working with small farmers. Could they talk a little bit more about that?
Thank you, Pam, for your question. Fair trade coffee, first explain to some of our other listeners what it is, and do you deal in fair trade coffee?
We do. Fair trade was started by an organization called Transfair in Europe, and what they do is they basically put a price floor on a certain commodity. So you can buy fair trade bananas, coconuts, whatever it may be. And what they have gone to do is make a better life for that particular farmer. So there's a fair trade minimum price paid for the coffee. The only problem is that fair trade certification does not take account quality, which is one of the biggest aspects that we look for in coffee. So because we buy specialty coffee, the coffee that we purchase is a lot more expensive than that fair trade minimum price. So if it's an amazing coffee and has that fair trade certification, then that's a bonus. But we don't look for that particularly in the coffee that we purchase.
Jeff in Northeast, welcome to Central Standard. Jeff, take your coffee out of your mouth, Jeff. Not there? Okay. Mike in South KC, welcome to Central Standard.
Okay, I just wanted to make a couple of quick comments. I go to Quick Trip when I buy coffee, which isn't that often. But what I wanted to mention was a good friend of mine worked at Gomer's, and my question is, does anybody down there ever eat the beans? I mean, do you have a special bean that's roasted? I like nuts and all that stuff and sunflower seeds and all that stuff. But anyways, does anybody have any experiences in eating roasted coffee beans?
Wow. Does anybody just say, you know what? I don't want to wait for it to brew. I want to crunch it in my mouth right
sure.
now.
You know, it happens. You know, I think it's an interesting way to kind of get the character of a bean. And, you know, there's always the chocolate-covered variety. You can find those around town. I think Filling Station on Gillam has a little 25-cent vending machine.
Yeah, those are good. Those are good. Those are definitely good. And coffee bean ice cream I've had before in San Jose, Costa Rica.
So I say go for it, man.
Very awesome. Karen in Overland Park, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. Yes, I've had the chocolate-covered coffee bean, too, and it's delicious. But my question is, I'm looking for a green coffee bean, as Dr. Oz not too long ago recommended for people who want to stimulate their health, drink the green coffee bean, which I had never heard of before, but I can't find now.
Where can you find varieties of healthy green coffee beans if you want to do it yourself?
I mean, we sell green coffee. There's a lot of home roasters that buy green coffee at roaster themselves, so you can buy it on our website or our roasting facility. I'd recommend you don't put it through a grinder. You might want to use a mortar and pestle to kind of grind it up so you can brew it.
All right. You're listening to Central Standard Coffee Talk on KCUR this morning, 89.3 FM, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Our guests are Ben Held of Benetti's Coffee Experience, Gregory Coastal from Oddly Correct, and Paul Massard. He's the green coffee buyer for the roastery Kansas City. Call in to Central Standard's Coffee Talk this morning. Tell us your favorite coffee shop, what you drink there, and why you drink it. Have you always wondered about the preparation of your own cup of joe? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also write in to centralstandard@kcur.org or hit us up on Facebook or tweet on Twitter at KCURCST. All right, now we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty, get down to the grind of this coffee hour. What is the best coffee you've ever tasted? No cop-outs, no spin, no...
That's a good question.
Don't hit me with that. Give me the real, starting with you, Greg.
All right. I was in Costa Rica a few years ago and had a... and this is... In the coffee world, it might be a little bit cliche, but it was a Panama Geisha, this beautiful... And a roastery has carried it before. It really was everything that, you know, it was said to be. So basically what I... naked lunch style, I wanted to, when I die, have it rubbed on my lips. That was kind of the reaction I had.
Wow.
Yeah. So thanks, William Burroughs, for that. But basically, oil of bergamot, you know, just crazy floral notes. I literally, you know, there's a lot of peak experiences in your coffee life, and that was definitely one where I was like, all right, that can be my embalming moment.
So do you like floral coffee with floral notes?
Sometimes I do. Yeah, sometimes I like, you know, and it's going against what you want us to say, but it depends. You know, some days, because you have so much variety and like so many channels to choose from, maybe you want to watch bowling and then, you know, squash, that sort of thing. So when we have so many good coffees in front of us, we just have to keep trying.
Ben Held, what represents your coffee Valhalla?
I'm a big fan of Indonesian coffees, like we talked about earlier, but next door in India, I'm a big fan of India and Monsoon Malabar, both some stuff that we've been able to roast, and I've really enjoyed some of what Broadway has offered in the Malabar. I just love that coffee. It's got a mustiness that it comes across as pleasant, and a silky, silky body, as if it had cream in it, but there's none.
As if it had cream in it, but there's none.
Exactly.
That's very vivid. That's very vivid indeed. Paul Massard, this is probably coming really hard for you. You've tasted thousands of varieties.
Yeah, it is.
What does it for you?
I mean, every experience that you have sensory-wise invokes different emotions. So when I think back at the most memorable sensory experience that I've had is a coffee from Kenya. I was still in college, tasted a coffee from Kenya, and that really blew my mind in what coffee could taste like. Because before that, you just drank regular coffee and you never found those crazy fruit, cherry notes in a coffee.
Now, in order to get that experience that we've just been talking about here in this moment, do you taste the coffee without adding any of the accoutrements? Is it kind of like wine where you got to swirl it around fresh out of the cup? You don't want to add anything yet. You want to get the aromatic sense of the brew itself. You don't add anything.
I think so, yeah. I mean, we don't bring like non-dairy cream and put it in our IPA, or, you know.
Right, exactly.
But I think, yeah, if you want to get to know somebody, you know, meet them sober, you know, that kind of an idea.
Right.
Because they're going to be a different person when you put things in them.
That is a very good illusion.
Yeah.
And coffee.
There you go.
Plays in as well.
Give it a chance.
It wakes you up. Mm-hmm. Christine in Overland Park, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you for taking my call. I was calling about decaffeinated coffee. I'm very sensitive to caffeine and have to do decaf, and I'm understanding that there may be two processes, a water process and a chemical process, and while I'd prefer a more natural water process, I was just wondering what you could tell me about the processes and how it affects the flavor of coffee.
All right. Christine has a decaf question, wants to know about process.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple processes. There's the natural water process, there's methylene chloride, there's ethyl acetate. And they all change the actual profile of the coffee. The way that I feel that it just kind of dilutes it slightly, it mutes the overall profile. We prefer a water process because it is chemical free. But those chemicals that they use to decaffeinate the coffee have a very low boiling point. So when that coffee is roasted to whatever it might be, 400 degrees, All of those chemicals are roasted out of that coffee.
Paul Massar, we're going to start with you. We're going to do another doozy. What is your favorite thing to do, your favorite activity to do while drinking coffee?
Wow. Drink more coffee.
Drink more coffee. That's it. Mm-hmm. How about you, Ben?
I really enjoy watching CBS Sunday morning.
While drinking
after
your coffee.
After making, you know, making a nice mocha pot in the morning.
I know you got a great answer over there, yeah. Greg.
Bathe. Yeah, I think so.
In coffee?
I've drank a fair amount. Before I was married, I drank a lot of cups of coffee in the shower because, you know,
I don't know.
But I think nothing would be my preferred answer.
Nothing.
But I don't do a lot of nothing. So sitting on a front porch, this weather like today, cup of coffee, I could do that.
I'd like to drink mine while I gently shoulder weep.
Done.
On the side of the bed. Oh, God, good coffee. Jason in Midtown, welcome to Central Standard.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I like the filling station because they make a really good latte, nice and strong. Also, Ethiopian is like, it's my favorite region to get coffee. Speaking of Ethiopian, the Blue Nile restaurant in City Market, it's a sit-down affair, but they roast their own, and really good experience to have their coffee ceremony. And I also have a solution for the French press stir, not stir.
And what is that?
Controversy. Well, what I do is I pour the water from the kettle from really high above the French press, and it kind of aerates and stirs it as it pours. So there you go.
Thank you for that, Jason. Pour it high. Pour it high. Heather writes, she wants to give a shout out. She wants to give a shout out to Homer's Coffee House on 80th and Metcalf. Everyone is very friendly. She works from home and gets cabin fever, so Homer's has a wall of tables with plugins for laptops, office away from the office. So Heather wants to give a shout out to her office away from the office's Homer's Coffee House. What are the elements of a good coffee shop, Paul Massar? Do you get away from the roastery plant every once in a while? And what are the elements of a good coffee shop?
I mean, atmosphere, friendly baristas, great coffee.
Do you ever walk in and tell people what's what?
No. You can never do that. No.
What are the elements of a great coffee shop for you, Greg, when you leave Oddly Correct?
I think quality, again, friendly, knowledgeable baristas. You don't want to walk in and feel like you're not welcome, you know? And I want to feel soul. I want to feel that coffee shop. And I want to be like, all right, there's something going on here, you know, in these four walls, not just sort of you're just selling coffee. That's kind of an elusive one, but you know when you feel it, you know?
As a coffee shop owner, does it feel intrepid? Do you feel like sometimes you're going in undercover and tasting someone else's coffee, sort of a sting like
sometimes
situation?
I think you do, but like, because it's tough, because if you come off like saying, hey, I'm a coffee shop guy, then they can be defensive,
right?
But you also don't want to, so sometimes you keep your cards close, sometimes you don't, you know.
Sometimes you just put on the hat of a regular coffee drinker,
yeah,
on the street.
If it's a really bad experience, you want that, because then you'd be like, oh, thanks, bye, you know. But thankfully there's not a ton of those in Kansas City.
One of our listeners writes in to us at centralstandard@kcur.org asking, what are the benefits of a French press? What are the benefits of a French press, Ben?
Well, you know, the French press, because of the immersion brewing process that, you know, it's featuring, kind of highlights the body of the coffee. And it also allows you to have some flexibility in the grind that you're using, because you can kind of, you have a margin there, a little bit of a window where you can adjust your time according to the grind that you're using.
It's all about the grind. What are some trends in coffee brewing, growing, or service that we should be looking out for, Paul Massart?
I mean, it's really just emphasis on quality. So you have, I mean, just really great quality of coffee just being served straight. I mean, we went through the Starbucks latte, gigantic lattes, where you really just, it's milk with a tiny bit of coffee.
Right.
Now I feel the drinks are getting smaller, so you really taste that coffee. You taste the quality of the coffee in that cup.
Is that happening, you think, Greg?
Absolutely.
Sort of getting back to pure coffee,
yeah.
The underground stuff.
Yeah, I think people really pursuing quality, and kind of, again, with the community in Kansas City, with the lab and all of our friends and different coffee shops and roasteries coming together, we have a more of a community of an open door of sharing knowledge and like realizing we don't have it all figured out, so let's not like posture that way. So in that, we've all really kind of gotten to experiment and and geek out. So yeah, I think it's more about the simplicity and the purity of the coffee.
Geeking out on the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the Coffee and Tea Week coming up here in Kansas City. Ben Helt, Caffeine Crawl.
Yeah, this
talk,
is
talk about that.
This is the second year for this event. This is something that was spearheaded and created by Jason Burton of Lab 5702, which is now just the lab. And what a great opportunity for us to raise the awareness and education level of coffee and consumerism of coffee. And, you know, last year it was a single-day event. Everybody at this table and a lot of great shops were on the tour last year. And Kansas City's culture is so vibrant and so huge, unlike some other cities that have had the Caffeine Crawl, like St. Louis, Boulder. This has happened or is going to happen in Vancouver. Ours is now a two-day event, and it will be kicking off a week of activities that local coffee purveyors and roasters and retailers are going to participate in, providing opportunities for their folks. So this starts on September 15th and 16th. It's a Saturday and Sunday. It's $30 for one day, or you can go on both days for $50. And it's just a tour in the morning of some great shops. And at each shop, they're going to be doing something educational about coffee.
Do you recommend doing it the night after a night of pub crawling? Probably not.
There needs to be some water in there somewhere. Yeah.
In one word, Paul Massard, why do you love coffee? One word.
Sensory experience.
Sensory experience. Two words, but one concept. So you get points for that. Ben Helt, one word. Why do you love coffee?
Well, he took mine. Community.
Community.
Yeah.
Community. That's a good one. Greg, you are the piece de resistance. What's your one word? Wow. You can't get any better than that. Can't get any better than
That's
that.
A good word.
Our guests are Ben Helt, Benetti's Coffee Experience, Gregory Coastal, Oddly Correct, and Paul Massard of the Green Coffee Buyer Variety for the Roastery. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming.
Thank you.
Tune in tomorrow when the food critics discuss your favorite meal of the weekend, brunch. Our show is executive produced by Bill Anderson and produced by Andrea Salenzi. Kim Noble is our announcer. Emily Mutert manages our website at kcur.org. Central Standard's intro theme music is by Miles Bonney. The outro is by The Will Nots. Up to Date is next with a discussion on the Constitution and its collision with extremism. That plus the weekend to-do list. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.